What do you remember about Galatians? Okay, let me ask you a question. Who wrote the book? Okay, we have someone here that says Paul. Okay, when we study the book of Hebrews, through everything that I looked at, every scholarly article and pastor, preacher that I recognize and feel comfortable with, nobody could land on the author of Hebrews. Everyone's like, yeah, it could be this, could be that, could be Apollos, could be, it's just, so most people have referred to it as the author of Hebrews. But Galatians, very, very different. Because Kevin is confident. Are you confident, Kevin? Kevin is confident that the author is Paul. He is absolutely right. Because it says right here, the first word is Paul, an apostle. Okay? Not from man nor through man, but through Jesus Christ. Which church was Paul writing to? Which church? He's not sure. Are you sure? Tell me. Who is he writing to? Is he writing to a group of people? Is he writing to a church? Is he writing to one person? Who is he writing to? The Galatian church? The many Galatian church? What does it say? The churches. Very good. Very good. Man, I can't even pull anything over you guys. This was written to the churches, plural. So there are quite a number of churches in southern Galatia. Okay? And obviously, okay, so what else do you know about this? What else do you know about Galatians? Is it, what's the tone of Galatians? I've talked about this before. What's the tone of Galatians, if you read through it before? Is it a friendship letter, like Philippians? What is the tone of Galatians? Do you remember, anybody? Is it friendly or almost unfriendly? Or somewhere in the middle? What do you guys think? Take a guess.
There are concerns.
There are concerns, yes. And I might go as far to say that it is a little bit unfriendly. Paul is really bothered by some stuff going on in the churches, okay? And so Paul's close relationship to these churches, though, obviously there's a close relationship, and we're going to find out why. We're going to look at that. So we see, here's a few facts. Definitely authored by Paul. It is a plurality of churches in Galatia. He was part of it, starting these churches, and I'll show you that in a moment. And obviously he had a close relationship to these churches. And this close relationship that he had helps to explain or allows us to see how he could take such a strong and almost unfriendly tone. Probably not unfriendly. Probably unfriendly is a wrong word, but definitely a strong, strong tone. He was not very happy. It wasn't like a rejoicing letter that he wrote to these churches. It was very strong in its tone, and he was miffed. He was bothered by what was happening there. And you'll find out what that is. If you don't remember already. Galatians, Charles Swindoll says, is Paul at his angriest. Okay? So he's more than miffed. This is the letter that you get to see the angriest version of Paul in a written form. Okay? That's what people have said about this. Charles Swindoll wrote that. That's other people's opinions as well. Let's see. Yeah, that's about it, right? Oh, even at the end of it, he says, in fact, to emphasize the seriousness of his purpose, he took the pen from his scribe and wrote the end of the letter. If you remember the verse where Paul says, I am writing this with my own hand
In
what? Large letters. How many of you, when you're chatting with somebody, what does capital letters mean? You're mad. Okay? If you're on email or social media and you're now chatting with somebody and you're using large letters or they're using it on you, you know that someone's mad. You know it's personal. And even at the end of this letter, he says, I am writing in block cap large letters. That is him going, if I was there, you see my face flushing, you see the veins popping out of my neck as I'm talking to you. All right? That's what's going on. This is Paul at his angriest, okay? Yes, you guys with me? All right. This is a map that I've showed you guys many times. This is a map put together by Broadman and Hoff or something like that. It's a very good map. It's used in a lot of Bibles. You might have it in the back of your Bible today. If you have a map, it could be this one. This was used in the NIV Study Bible years ago. So, since we've seen this map many times, have we not, class? We've seen this map many times. This is the map of Paul's missionary journeys. When I first took over this class, When I first started teaching this class, we taught through Philippians, and I spent a lot of time looking at Paul's missionary journeys. And we did it again when we went through Acts. We did it again when we looked at the Gospels. We did it again when we looked at some other letters that Paul wrote. So I've whited this out right here. But there are different colors. Okay. Do you remember? Do you remember the order? Which of the colors is his first missionary journey? Which might be his second, third, and fourth? Why don't you talk in a group real quick and see if you can figure that out without cheating and looking at a map in the back of your Bible. Just talk in your group and just see what you think it is. Okay, get around 3-4 people and just take a gander at it. Take a guess. And it's okay. It doesn't really matter. This is just for fun. See if you guys remember. I just like to see if you guys remember anything. But if you're like me, you might not. I don't remember a lot of stuff. I have the memory of a rock, which is no memory. Okay. So talk about your group. See if you guys can figure out what his first missionary journey was. There is, okay, yes. Preston just found there's a black one, so there's.
There's four.
Okay, there are four, okay? There's a green one that goes like this. And we talked about that recently, by the way. We talked about that when we talked about, do you guys remember? Okay, yeah, did we talk? Okay, so we talked about this green one from Jerusalem to Tyre and on and on and on. And then I drew my own. I added one on his return journey. Okay, you remember that? So obviously, I don't know what that one is, okay? And then there is Preston saw a black one that starts here in Antioch that goes boop, boop, boop across to Cyprus and then over here and then comes back, it looks like it was there. Then there is a red one that starts at Antioch that goes this way, boom, 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 comes all the way up here. Oh, I wonder which missionary journey comes up here, right? And circles about back, and then comes back this way, okay? And then there's a green one that starts here. Oh, we did green already. And then there's a purple one. Where does the purple one start? Purple one starts in Jerusalem, and it goes, comes up here, and comes over here as well. Familiar passageway, and then back to Jerusalem. All right, so there's those four colors. Green, black, red, purple. And then I added one later here, but you don't have it. I'm not going to quiz you on that. So which one's first? Do you guys have a guess? What color goes first in the back? What do you guys think?
From Antioch to that area in Turkey and then backwards.
Okay, Turkey's over here. Okay, so here's Turkey. So you're saying this one, the...
Was it black? I don't remember.
Okay, there's one that goes from Antioch down to Cyprus, up through Turkey here, or you know, Asia Minor, and then reroutes back. You're saying that one?
That's one.
Okay. What do you guys say?
She said black.
Black? What do you guys say here?
Black.
Okay, so if Tim's wrong, we all wrong. Right? Is that what it is? Okay, Timmy. Survey says is the first one. Okay? This, the last book that we talked about, I forgot. What was the book that we talked about where I mentioned that after his imprisonment, right, then we saw Paul come back. You guys remember that? Anyways, that's actually not even listed on here. That's his voyage after imprisonment in Rome. But this is the first one, okay? So this is starting off in Antioch, coming over to the island of Cyprus, popping over here into Pamphylia, which is Turkey today, modern Turkey, going around through this area of Galatia, right? And then coming back over here, rerouting, and then taking the boat all the way back to Antioch, right? There's also in another view that I want to get a little bit more closer is here. So what I'd like you to do is turn your Bibles open to Acts now, because I think it's always fun to get a little bit of the journey and the background, and let's read, because see, this is what I want you guys to link in when you are reading the letters of Paul, especially Paul's letters. Always link it back to what was happening, and you're going to learn about what was happening in the book of what? Acts. Okay? Because these are churches that Paul himself was involved in planting. So turn your Bible open to Acts 13. We're going to do some reading. And every time you read an epistle, if you remember my lesson on studying the Bible, okay? When I said reading the epistles, does it require a lot of background information, or the background information doesn't matter that much? Do you guys remember the answer to that? The answer would be, it requires a good understanding of the background information. Just like when we read Hebrews, I spent so much time giving you all the way back to Old Testament background information, because that really opens our eyes, doesn't it, when we get into Hebrews, doesn't it? Okay? And if you didn't get the background information, you might just miss over and be like, Melchizedek, whatever. Wow, there's like three chapters devoted to this guy, but it's not a big deal. Right? But when you understand priesthood, when you understand, you know, all that, and you really think about that background as Jewish Christians, now you're like prepared to read it. When we read the letters of Paul, it's always good to go back to Acts to see how the church was planted, and then to see what was the nature of that area, what was happening. We see a very big difference in Philippi, as we will see in Galatia, okay? All right, so turn to Acts, and I'm going to have us read just little portions of it. We're not going to read a lot. I'd like someone to read Acts chapter 13, 1 through 6. Okay, Acts chapter 13, 1 through 6. Would somebody please read that for me? And we're going to see where we are on this map.
Okay. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them set on their way, for the Holy Spirit went down to Cilicia and sailed from there to Cyprus. And they arrived at Salamis. They proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. And John was there, was with them as their helper. They traveled through the whole island till they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus.
Great, let's stop right there. Can you just read that to yourself again? Can you check that out? This was a bunch of people The prophets and teachers, these are Christians, because it's the church. Okay, this is not the synagogue. When we say the word synagogue, it refers to what?
Jewish.
A Jewish house, a Jewish place of worship. This is the church, the ecclesia, the ones called out. Okay, that's what Christians are. They're the church, and they're in the city of what? Antioch. Okay, Barnabas was here. Simeon, who was called Niger. Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. Check that out. Saul's name hasn't even been changed yet. He has been saved, we see, we would know, because he's part of the church now, the church that he was persecuting, because we could see that in the chapters previously. But Saul's name is not even clarified to be Paul in Scripture until verse 8. You'll see it later if you just kept on reading. But right now, he's still called Saul. And while they're worshiping the Lord, and what else were they doing? And fasting in Antioch, okay, praying, fasting, worshiping, the Holy Spirit put on their heart and said, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work with which I have called them. And then they fasted, prayed, laid their hands on them, and then sent them off. Okay, you see that? This is missionary work. This is what's going on. And notice this. Notice that. Notice that. It doesn't say that they were called themselves. It was this group as they were worshiping and fasting. The Holy Spirit affirmed everybody. Was like, yeah, like, we got to send these two guys out. That's pretty cool, right? I don't think this is prescriptive, but it is cool to note right there, right? And so here they are in Antioch. And then it says in verse 4, so being sent out by the Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. Where's Seleucia? You see it on the map here. They went from inland Antioch to Seleucia, okay? And from there, these two guys, Barnabas and Saul, sailed to where?
Cyprus,
the island, okay? This is the island called Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, which is right here, Salami, okay? Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the what? Synagogue, okay? That's because that's where you go. You first go, as we went to as we looked at the book of Philippians, we noticed the pattern that they go at least to the synagogue first, okay, to the Jew, not only because Scripture says to the Jew first, but because why? Jews help people in a polytheistic culture usually to understand that there is what? One God. Okay? So you don't have to cover polytheism first. You at least have worshipers who know that there is one God. Okay? And because of the nature, we talked about that, of the different reigns from the Greeks, you know, from the Babylonians, Persians, Greeks, and Romans, Jews have been scattering all over the place. So everywhere you find monotheism, because Jews also do proselytize, meaning they share their faith with people. There are non-Jews that begin worshiping the God Yahweh, because they learn that there is one God and is the God of Israel. Okay? So you have these areas where there's filled with like Jewish monotheistic and non-Jewish monotheistic believers. Okay? You guys got it? So they believe in one God. So here they go, synagogue of the Jews, and they had, who was with them? This guy named John. Do you remember what John this is? John Mark. So remember in our book of Philippians, we said that we saw an argument between Paul and Barnabas over who? John Mark. And usually we say that that's taught like a very negative thing. But when we looked at the map, it was cool because even though Paul and Silas went this way, okay, we saw that Barnabas took John Mark to go this way, and we saw actually a very positive outcome of their splitting, where the gospel, God used the gospel to go out in two different directions, right? So this is really cool. So now we see that here they are, and then it says, when they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, okay, that's where they ended up here. So that's their first part of the journey. We see that they go from Antioch to Cyprus, Salamis, all the way to Paphos. They're covering the island with the gospel, okay? Next, let's read Acts 13 and 14, just two verses. So if you would like to read two short verses for me. Anybody?
Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But they went on from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia. And on the Sabbath day they went into the synagogue and sat down.
Okay, great. Let's just start there. So Paul and now his companions set sail from Paphos to where? To where?
Perga.
Perga in Pamphylia. Pamphylia is this sub-region, sub-region of Galatia, okay? And that's where we see them keep moving on there. And from Pamphylia, what do we see?
John bounced.
Huh? You see John, Mark, what? John left them. This is where he bounced. Okay, that's what Daniel just said. Okay, this is where John Mark created some controversy because he left the mission field. All right? This is why Paul did not give him a second chance later, because Paul doesn't like flakes. Okay? But Barnabas was a brother who gave Mark a second chance. Right? And we see that's pretty cool too. All right, so we see that, and we'll keep reading here. Now from 14 to 49, I just want you to skim through it yourself. Verse 14 through 49, because we're going to see that now Paul, okay, so we saw that, and came to Antioch in Pisidia. So we already see that they've now gone from here, Pamphylia, all the way into Antioch now. Okay, so now they're up here. Yes, this is the same name as the Antioch where they started, but this is Antioch in Galatia. So now they're in the Galatian region. Okay? And so just skim through it real quick, because there's a lot of cool stuff that you can take a look at as you do a quick reading all the way through 49. Okay? It's helpful. Remember, he went to the synagogue there, right? He's at the synagogue. And now he's talking to these people of the synagogue. And he goes through this whole dissertation. You can fly through it very quickly. What is he doing? What is he doing? What is Paul doing? Just stop where you're at. What is Paul doing as you skim through it? Okay, so Paul, again, in Antioch now, he goes first to the what?
Synagogue.
Synagogue is filled with
Jewish,
and there's going to be some non-Jewish people that are monotheistic, worshiping the God of Yahweh. They have the Old Testament. They believe in that. They have an issue with Jesus, though. And so what do you have to do whenever you're working with Jews? You got to start from the very beginning. He went from verse 17 and he's, look at this. Okay, I love this. 16, this is my defense of myself. So Paul stood up and motioning with his hand. Some people said they don't like me moving my hand so much when I preach, but I just follow Paul. So that's what I do, right? But he starts from the beginning. He starts from the covenant. He talks about them as a covenant people. He brings it all the way up to the prophets. What the prophets were warning, don't harden your hearts. Don't harden your hearts when the Messiah comes, all that stuff, and boom, he gets into it. His teaching is so good. He breaks down the gospel to these Jews that by verse 42, as they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. Like, you guys got to come back. We've never heard this before. We've never heard the scriptures taught like this before. We've never heard the gospel linked with the Old Testament like this before. Okay? And verse 43, and after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews, though, and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. Check that out. That's pretty cool, right? A lot of Jews and devout converts, that's what I was saying, right? These people who are gathering in synagogues, there are also non-Jews who believe in the monotheism, God, they believe in Yahweh, the God of Israel, okay? And now they believe in Jesus, and they're following Paul and Barnabas. And they're saying, continue in God's grace. Notice the message of grace. It's grace that saves. Okay, the grace concept is what they needed to hear. Verse 44. But did they go back as everybody in the synagogue asked and said, come back next Sabbath because we want to hear more? Wow, check it out. The people who believed were already following now. There's some people who just want to hear. There's some people who just want to hear. And then there are those who really followed. You see the difference there? Okay, that's preachable right there. Verse 44. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city. What city are we in? We're in Antioch here. The whole city, that means non-Jews. All the non-Jews gathered to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. Okay, and that's the whole deal with them. All right? So what we see there is, now you begin to see some tension. You see the tension of what happens between the gospel and Jews. Okay? Now, I'm going to read verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to where? Iconium. And the disciples, check that out. These are all those who now have come to Christ, were filled with joy. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so they do their work here until all the Jews revolt, create persecution against them, and they get on out of Dodge or Antioch and go to Iconium, right? So that's what we see. And on it goes. But what we see now in 14:1, it's the same thing. Where do they go to first? Now at Iconium, they enter together into the Jewish, what? Synagogue, verse 1. And spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving, look at verse 2 of 14. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So they remained for a long time speaking boldly for the Lord. Okay, I'm just going to finish reading this and we'll be close to done here. Who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided. What city is this?
Antioch.
Iconium now, okay? Some sided with the Jews and some sided with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and then Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding country, and there continued to preach the gospel. So from Iconium, they now fled to Lystra and Derbe. Any significance in the names Lystra and Derbe? Who do they pick up on their second missionary journey in this area? You guys remember? Paul wrote two letters to him, young man. Timothy. Right? So very cool. What we see here, and we're going to start going into next week, is we see after they face a lot of persecution, they make this return route and they go back to these cities. That's why the relationship with the churches is very close. They've spent a lot of time, and even when they go back, they take the return route and visit each of these churches that were filled with brand new Christians. All right? And then next week, we're going to start looking at the tension that was happening in these churches. What was happening to these Christians and why Paul was so angry. All right? Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you again for today's just brief introduction and a little bit of background in the book of Acts. We see a growing tension begin here against the gospel. And Lord, we might even experience, Lord, the tension of the gospel in our own life, Lord, where the gospel has been given to us. It has saved us, Lord, but the gospel also creates transformation in our lives. And I know that there is resistance. I pray, God, that the power of the gospel will continue to not only save souls, but for us in this room, the gospel would continue to transform, and that you would allow us, by your grace, to be made more and more to the image of your Son. Continue to watch over Pastor James today as he preaches your word, Lord. He's just had such a hard week. It's so busy. He had two major papers. He has a pre-study to prepare for, and a sermon, and with five kids. I just pray for your grace, that we would see a miracle and your grace demonstrated in his preaching today, that it would be your grace that uses the words of the pulpit to speak to our soul. We thank you. Would you bless our day of worship? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.